Now, there may be a few people I know that when they came in and saw me this morning, their eyes kind of got really wide when they looked at me and saw the lack of on top of my head. And you may be wondering what happened, maybe you thought I was just trying to change it up or mess you up a little bit, but there actually was a purpose behind it. Maybe Helen, if you could put up that picture for us. On Saturday, there was something called Cops for Cancer, where officers would get their heads shaved to raise money for cancer. So I volunteer as a police chaplain for the Orangeville Police, and so I put my hair on the chopping block on Saturday. All for a good cause. And Peter was there as well, who works with our officers in town, and so he also, although he had less to cut off than mine, he keeps it pretty short already. I was saying that I got to give my parents a hard time. When I was just a young guy, my parents, to save money, used to shave my head like that in the summers. And I used to wear a hat all summer long. And so I could do that this morning if you want when I'm preaching. I got a cause for cancer here. What do you think? Yay! The youth like it, but maybe not. But I did notice this morning my head was a little cold when I went outside, so. But I'm sure time will take care of that. If you want to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. There was a dad who was trying to explain to his four-year-old daughter the concept of marriage. And she just wasn't getting it. So he decided that he's going to go to the wedding album, and he picked out the wedding album, and he showed her through all the pictures in the wedding album and the wedding party and all the different things that happened there, hoping that she would understand from the pictures. And after he's done showing all the pictures and to the little girl, and she's sitting there with her eyes wide open, everything like that, he says, "Do you have any questions?" And she looked at all the pictures, and she points to the one at the wedding party. She goes, "Daddy, is that the day Mommy came to work for us?" Life as a mom has joys and sorrows, highs and lows, victories and defeats, early mornings, long days, late nights. Lots of things that are concerning and lots of things to worry about. Even when your kids get older, the concerns don't end. Sometimes when you have young kids, you can say, if they would just get older, it'd be so much easier. My mom said when her kids grew up, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. No matter how old I get, I'm still my parents' child. Things have changed. We still have concerns. There's still things you worry about, and you don't know about the decisions for the future, and the difference is you have little to say about it. But remember, you can always pray about it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Taking those things, those concerns, those worries, and we want to be in there, and because we lived a little bit of life, and there's that sense that you want to speak in their life and help them avoid maybe some of the pitfalls that we had fallen into. Instead of doing that, sometimes we just need to pray into it and let God lead them and God guide them and change their life. Anybody here have a praying mom? Raise your hand. Praying mom, right? Make a big difference, doesn't it? My wife, Chris, had a praying mom. I had a praying mom. A praying mom is a very powerful force. There was a young recruit who wanted to be an officer. And as he was doing his interview, one of the questions they asked him, "What would you do if you had to arrest your mom?" The young man said, "Call for backup." Moms are powerful. Praying moms are mighty. So mom, you're nurturing and you're caring and you're guiding and you're watching over families. Days can be difficult, they can be challenging and filled with concerns. So I want to give you some scriptural words of encouragement, and if you want those scriptures, you can get those on the guest services table after and take them and read them. So, when you're feeling overwhelmed by the sheer number of things to do, the decisions to make, and the uncertainty of life. I know that it is hard, or was hard, when we were sending our kids off to the first day of school, and it's like the sheep to the wolves, and how hard it would be. Isaiah 40 says this, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. When these things get out of your control, you're feeling overwhelmed, trust God. For moms, work sometimes seems to be never-ending. Perpetual laundry. Constant correcting. Endless cleaning, continual nurturing, and in that time when you can get to all that, you can feel tired. And you can feel like I don't know if I can go, I just need a rest. I was listening today on the radio, yesterday, and it was saying about mothers, the number one things mothers wanted for Mother's Day, a day off from being mom. The number one thing, sometimes you can feel tired. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Go to Jesus. Go to his hands, his arms. Sometimes being a mom can be a solitary place. Many times the things you do have to be on your own. My daughter... we just became grandparents 8 weeks ago. My daughter is a mom, and we get phone calls from time to time. She's there doing these things on their own, and she's calling her mom for advice or help, and sometimes just saying, "Oh, it's just so tiring. I feel like I'm alone." Maybe that's how you feel sometimes as a mom. You feel alone. It says in Isaiah chapter 54, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet your unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Even in that moment, you feel you are alone, you are not alone. Jesus is with you, he cares about you, he loves you even in that moment. Raising kids is expensive. Having a family is not cheap. Maybe you're worried about money. You're stressed about the budget and the finances and how you're going to make ends meet. It says in Philippians chapter 4, "For my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." When things don't make sense, when they don't know how you're going to work out, when the pressure is on, trust Jesus to meet your needs. He will never let you down. He will never fail you. So, mom, often your husband, your children, your friends, and your family, they want to go you for a listening ear. They want to go you for words of advice. And many times you have to make so many important decisions. And that you're not sure what to do. You need wisdom. You need understanding because you're supposed to share that with others. It says in James chapter 1, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Do you need wisdom? Do you need understanding? Do you need guidance because you're there to try to help those around you, to support your family? Ask Jesus to give you the wisdom. And he will at the exact time you need it. Moms, you're looking at your children and you're thinking maybe about their lives. What friends are they going to choose? What school are they going to go to? in the future? What about a job or a spouse? And maybe your children's future seems uncertain. I don't know if they're going to get a good education, or maybe they decided they're not taking a good path and you're not really sure about their future. I encourage you, in Proverbs 22, it says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have not completely seen that in our family. But I believe God is true to his word and he is faithful. And we will. We've seen signs of it, but not all there yet. So I would encourage you to believe God, trust him and his promises, and he will be there. The temptation is for us to try to control, maybe we call it guide the future. And really, we're trying to push things in the direction we think we're good. We don't know really what good is. Only Jesus does. He's the only one that knows the future. He only is the one that knows what's going to happen down the road, and he can guide them. So trust God. Now, maybe the enemy's been lying to you. He's been telling you lies like you're not good enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not strong enough. Your family background was too bad. You've made too many mistakes. You're too hurt. You're too damaged. You're too wounded. Don't believe his lies. Look in the Bible. If you read the Bible, you read about a woman. She was named Ruth. She was married to a man, but he ended up dying. They had no children. Well, a widow in that culture was very difficult. They didn't have the social network there or system that we have today where there was a widow benefits, or you could go there to get support, maybe a pension when you got older. You didn't have that. And if you didn't have children, it was even harder because children were who took care of you when you got older. So she was a widow. She had no children. Not only that, she didn't live in her own country. She had moved from her country, Moab, over into Israel to be with her mother-in-law. So she's living with her mother-in-law, who also was a widow and had no children. So for them, the future was pretty bleak. They didn't look like there was much hope and that there was going to be much future for them. Things weren't going to get better. But you notice that Ruth, if you read the story, she never gave up her hope in God. As faithful as God is, one day Ruth met a man named Boaz. A really nice guy, godly man. They got married. They had children. She literally went from rags to riches. Interesting. God took the broken pieces of Ruth's life and made them into something beautiful. But this is not a new story. In fact, if you read the Bible, you can see the story over and over again. You will see people like Tamar, who lied and deceived Judah. Rahab, who once was a prostitute. Ruth, who once was a foreigner and a widow. Bathsheba, which was once an adulterer. Now, do you know what all these ladies have in common? They're all found in the genealogy of Jesus. Do you see how great God is? He didn't say, you can be, I'll forgive you for that, but you got to sit over in a corner somewhere. You got to be off to the side because you're no good and you've made too many mistakes. No, he literally grafted them in right into the bloodline of Jesus. How great God is. In our society, when something's worn or worn down or broken, it's seen to be as worthless. Not as worth as much, and often it's discarded. How many times you go to a yard sale and you see a bunch of stuff laying around there that people don't want anymore because they're getting new stuff. In the Japanese culture, there's something called kintsugi. And in this kintsugi, the art of repairing broken pottery, with a lacquer mixed with powder gold, silver, or platinum. You can see the picture on the screen. Kintetsu treats a breakage and repair as part of the history of an object rather than something to be hidden or disguised. You see, the brokenness makes it unique. It makes it special, a work of art. Maybe you have been broken, damaged, wounded. You feel like you have little or no value. Jesus wants to take those broken pieces of your life and put them back together, making you a unique and amazing work of art. Isn't he great? It says in Psalms 139, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I want us to stand together and read that. Let's stand together. Let's read that together. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Let's read that again. Let's read it with conviction and belief that this is Jesus did this for us. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Your brokenness is not what makes you ugly. It's what Jesus wants to take and is going to take to make you beautiful. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your miracle and how you take broken things and you make them into a work of art. And you use the very brokenness and the weakness to bring strength into their life. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now for those that may be feeling broken, those that may be feeling weak, those that may be feeling that they're not worth what they were once and that they'll never be of value, and help them not to believe that lie, to know that you created them and want to create them into something wonderful, something beautiful. So, Lord, do that and begin that restoration of their life. Take the broken pieces. Lord, bring them back together. We pray this in your name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. Jesus died on the cross to make the broken pieces of our life into something beautiful. And maybe you're here even this morning and you're saying that I've struggled and I've had issues and I tried to do it on my own, but I don't want to do that anymore. I need you, Jesus. If you're here like that this morning, I would encourage you just to say this prayer with me and saying, "Jesus, I want you in my life." Just repeat it after me between you and God. "Lord Jesus, this morning, I recognize I'm broken. And I need you to put me back together, to make me beautiful. So, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to make me whole again, that I may love and serve you. In Jesus' name." Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a second. If you said that prayer with me, I would encourage you that this is the biggest decision you've ever made. I welcome you into the family of God, and there's going to be some things you need to do, like reading the Bible, and there'll be questions you have and things you want to learn to grow in Jesus. And we have a Bible and some information we'd love to give to you. So if you said that prayer, just quickly raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get that. Just quickly raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Now, if you said that prayer but we didn't see your hand or you didn't raise it, you can still get that information at that Bible at the guest services table. as I said, that your brokenness is not what makes you ugly. It's what Jesus is going to use to make you beautiful, because you're beautifully broken. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray for everyone that is here. And I thank you for their lives. I just pray that you would help them to come to you in their brokenness, in their weakness, in their frailty, so that you, Lord, can put them back together. In Jesus' name. As we're here this morning, it's a special day called Mother's Day. I would like to take just a moment to pray for mothers. So if all the mothers, grandmothers that are here this morning could come forward to the front, we want to have a special prayer and a special blessing over them this morning. So all the mothers, all of us are beautifully broken. All of us have hurts and woundedness in our life. Wait close to the front. We're going to need lots of room. Look at this. This is awesome. Awesome. Really close. Now, we're just getting time for all of them to get up here. Oh, it's good to see you, moms. Yeah, good to see you up here. And I'm going to ask those that are here, you have a mom up here or a grandma up here, or you know somebody up here, do you want to lay hands on them and pray for them? You come forward to the front and join. We'll have to kind of work that out and navigate how we're going to do that, but come on up. Come on up. We're going to pray for them this morning. Maybe you might have to come around. If somebody's at the front, just come around to the front. We don't mind. Come right around the front to get beside them. Our moms are special. They're important. We want to honor them and pray for them in this way this morning. So for those of you that are still in your seats, if you just want to raise your hands towards the front here, as we take this moment to pray for our moms, because we love them. And Jesus loves them even more than us. My wife, Chris, is going to pray for the moms this morning.
We just come to you right now, Lord. Lord, we just give our duties. Sometimes we consider them duties, but really their blessings. So Lord, we just lift these children, these adult children, these young children, these middle-aged children, Lord. We just lift them to you, Lord. We just ask you that you'll just put a covering over everybody's home, and if they have children that live outside the home, Lord, we just ask you to bring covering. Let your Holy Spirit move upon every single child, every parent that is here, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to put covering over our children from the top of their head to the tip of their toes, Lord, that you'll just send your holy angel upon them to protect them daily, Lord. Lord, I just ask you right now that you'll be with every single solitary mom. Whether you have a mom here or a mother not here or a child here or a child not here, Lord, we just ask you right now that you'll just touch these moms. Lord, you just give them a special blessing, not only just for today, Lord, but throughout the year, Lord. Let them feel that God is with you always. And Lord, we're just going to thank you for it. Lord, we're going to ask you to just remove any negative attitudes sometimes that can come upon us just from being overworked or overtired or just feeling not appreciated, Lord. Let them feel that appreciation that you are right here beside us and you're watching over us. And we're going to give you praise. We're going to give you glory, Lord. Lord, I just ask you, let this day just be like such a relaxful, day for these moms, that they can just relax knowing that you've got them daily, minute by minute, weekly, yearly, Lord. We're claiming victory over these moms and these homes and these kids and these dads and these cities that we live in. So, Lord, I just thank you for them. And we just ask you to be with them and bless them and give them strength. In your name we pray. And all the moms said,
amen. Amen. So, for the moms, stay up at the front for a few minutes. We have some children that are coming up. We have a flower we want to present to you as a token of our appreciation for you. And while the children are coming with the flowers, give a mom a hug. They need a hug. They deserve a hug. They deserve lots of them.